collaborative creativity is one of the big ideas. And the hope is that we can see through the example of anime how committed, excited, passionate groups of people who may start as fans of something can build businesses and opportunities through that passion and through the collective action of working with peers. Because that's what animation tells us, is that the success of Japanese animation came out of a kind of bottom-up excitement. And even so, it became a global industry and a global culture that offers excitement and mystery for generations to come.
Anime has been around for a long time. What is the fascination with it around the world?
What I think it shows is that when we're looking for how new businesses and new kinds of expression emerge, that we have to look at the communities that invent them. You know, right now, I know a lot of young people are worried about where are the jobs of the future going to come from? What are ways we can imagine new kinds of economies happening? And animation is a fascinating example because 100 years ago, there was no such thing as animation. And that Japan has been such a success shows one of the paths how that new kind of business, new kind of economy can happen.
From an anthropological standpoint, you have a lot to really dig into as far as the Japanese culture of animation.
You're not kidding. It's amazing the variety of stories that are out there. You know, the ways that you look at Japanese animation, and there's questions of gender and sexuality and confusion about these spaces. There's also all of this exploration of bravery and courage. And even the ways technology and war and the environment are interrelated. I mean, that's what makes animation such a fascinating world. It's endless, and you can explore in all these different dimensions, from great shows like Death Note or Bleach or Naruto or slice of life shows that give us a sense of what the everyday world of being a teenager is like. It's a huge universe of culture and expression that it's not surprising to me that so many people are attracted to it.
What makes anime so different from the kinds of animation that we're used to here in the United States?
Animation in Japan was in some ways inspired by Disney, and comic books in Japan were also inspired by early comic book experiments in the U.S. There's always been a tight connection between Japan and the U.S. in terms of their animation businesses. In the 70s, American animation companies were outsourcing their work to Japan. It was part of the thing that helped grow Japanese animation as well. But why Japanese animation was able to, in some ways, supersede American animation, especially in the global television market, is partly that Japanese animators learned to make their animation more cheaply, and they would give it away. The first season you get free. If your fans like it, then we'll talk about the second season and work out a deal. And so it's a remarkable example of bootstrapping a media economy thanks to the excitement of fans around the world. And because that excitement built and that access built around Japanese animation, it becomes locked in as a style, as something people appreciate and want to keep going forward with. Pixar and Disney have taken certain steps towards the Hollywood blockbuster market, and they're hugely successful. And Japanese animation has carved out a somewhat different space, in some ways a wider range of material that reaches a somewhat different and yet equally dynamic and excited audience.
Interestingly, too, it has created a bit of a fantasy world that many have just lost themselves in. It has become a reality of sorts for many people.
Animation makes us question how real reality is. If what makes something real is our ability to feel something and to respond and to have a kind of communicative human energy come out of that relationship, it's kind of funny, but it's true that sometimes that happens more in a fantasy world, in a two-dimensional world, than one might have in the mundane day-to-day life. And maybe that says something about where we are as a society and living in the era we're living in.
The technology has made it easier for people to get into animation and work with it and distribute it. I'm sure that has had quite an impact in the growth of the industry, especially in the last 20 years or so.
Exactly. And so you say, why was Japan the source of so much of the world's animation and comic books? And it's a really interesting historical story. In the U.S., in the 1940s and early 50s, there was an outcry against violence and sexy comic books that were corrupting children of the day. The comic book industry publishers took a stand that said comics have to be uplifting and good for the children of America. And it made our comics in the U.S. something just for children. In Japan, the same kind of outcry came out. But in the end, the comic book publishing industry had a more open view. And so grown-ups and older people and teenagers become totally enchanted by the weekly comic books that then became the basis for this huge animation culture.
Are there any personal favorites that you have that you might like to share?
There are so many that I like. I mean, right now, I've been fascinated by Attack on Titan. Space Dandy is kind of inappropriate, but also interesting. And then I like a classic gag anime like Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei, which means goodbye, Mr. Despair.
Where do you see the future of anime going from this point? Is it going to continue to expand and find new horizons?
Absolutely. I think animation has proved that there are ways to make a sustainable creative business, even as the package industry of DVDs and CDs is disappearing. Because ultimately, economies are built on the excitement and the social energy of the audience and the fans who care. And as long as that's there, I believe there will be a business in the future for anime and, in fact, all kinds of art forms today.